AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of European qualification action. Rangers welcome Bruges in the latest test of Russell Martin's new era. Brendan Rodgers admits he'd have preferred new additions before tomorrow. And Ben Doak is on the move and he's got a new name to go with it. Joining me this evening though, two old names. We've got Marvin Barkley and Gordon Dalziel. How are you both? Excited?
Yeah, excited. A couple of big nights coming up, as you mentioned there, Gordon. Rangers start tonight. A packed Ibrox. Difficult one, Bruges. But how many times have we sat here in this studio and always said that maybe we hurdled too much for Rangers to go over? And what happens? They produce the goods. And then if they can do it tonight, then it's up to Celtic tomorrow as well. So a great couple of nights in store.
Yeah, I agree. You know, some big nights for all the teams in Europe. Obviously, you've got Hibs on Thursday as well in Aberdeen. But you know, looking at tonight and tomorrow, I think it's a massive game for Rangers. They all are at this moment in time. You know, we're constantly saying the same things. You know, pre-match, I think, you know, there's a bit of stick heading their way. But if they can win this game and put themselves in a good position for the second leg, I think post-match, you know, the fans will be back on side again. So, yeah, it's a massive 90 minutes for them.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. That's the number that you need. So come on down, 0141-951-1025. Like we said, write it down, get it in the phone, send us a tweet, do whatever you like, but get in touch and let us know what you are thinking. Rangers fans, particularly if you're on your way to the game tonight, we would love to hear from you. How do you see it going? How are you feeling? There's been so much negativity, so much criticism already of the games this season, but as Gordon alluded to, how many times do you manage to find a way in European competition? Do you think it'll be the same again tonight, or will it be a step too far, as many have feared? What about the team as well? There are some interesting dilemmas, because in the last few weeks we've seen players like James Tavernier and Nicholas Raskin be taken out the team, and it works initially, and then it didn't work, and then some come back in. There's no obvious candidate to play left back, so who is it tonight? Is it your new man straight in at left back, or is it Max Aarons, who the manager said isn't the long term solution at left back? Pick as your option in that area. What about up front? Is it a half-fit Cyril Dessers? Is it an undercooked Hamza Igaman? Or is it a Danilo who's maybe been flattering to deceive in recent weeks? Again, pick your team for us. Give us all your thoughts heading along to the game tonight. Brendan Rodgers was asked about Jamie Vardy potentially signing for Celtic today. There's a sentence that we thought had gone away over the summer, but he was asked about it in the build-up to that Kairat Almaty game. It's a 7,000-mile trip next week. So how important is the home leg? Yet again, same theme, transfers, safe to say. I think Brendan Rodgers probably did sound a bit frustrated again. He spoke once again at length about preferring to have bodies in before now and having to constantly make sure the club is moving forward and all the stuff that people have been speculating on. He underlined a lot of it again today in the build-up to that game. So Celtic fans, give us all your thoughts there. And anything else that's on the go, give us your thoughts right now, please. 0141-951-1025. It's a big week all round.
Oh yeah, it's massive, especially it all starts tonight at Ibrox, Gordon. It'll be interesting. I think you mentioned the Rangers fans going along to Ibrox. What's the team going to be like? How's he going to fix this back four for me? Because it looks like a team that I think they can score goals. I think they're exciting from middle to front going forward. I think they'll create chances, especially at home. But it's just keeping that back door closed. And they don't look very confident at this moment in time. This big question mark, who's going to play at left back?
Who would you play?
Tell you what, have a think about it.
Yeah.
And we'll go to Gabs first. But okay. Lots of questions to be answered, as Gordon quite rightly says. Who should play at left back? Who should play up front? What does the team look like overall? Can Rangers do it? What about Celtic tomorrow? Do Livingston not provide training tops in a bigger size for those of you watching on the live stream as well?
Who's is that? David Martindale's you've got on your swap tennis shows about?
all the burning questions to be answered on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gabriel is at Ibrox.
Yes, Gordon, the overcast weather here signals summer is coming to a close, but it also means we're not far away from the Champions League proper. It's playoff night here at Ibrox, with Club Bruges standing between Rangers and the league phase, which they're aiming to reach for just the second time in the past 14 years. The manager, Russell Martin, insists his players should not be fazed by qualifying for the big time. He believes they can get the job done over the next week. And it's, of course, not been the easiest of starts to life for Martin here in Govan. He's had to tell his mother and others not to worry about him. He's had to insist that he is enjoying being Rangers head coach. He now wants his players to get their joy back. They've won just three of their opening seven matches this campaign, although two of them have come in this competition at this stadium. Strong home victories over Panathinaikos and Victoria Pilsen put them in commanding positions in the tie, and they'll need exactly the same again this evening. In terms of the lineup, we'll expect a load of changes from the weekend's League Cup win over Alloa. As you boys were discussing there, what's happening with the back four? It's going to be interesting to see the dynamic in midfield. Does Lyle Cameron keep his place? You'd expect Nico Raskin to start as well, but what does that mean for Mohamed Diamande and Joe Rothwell? Will Cyril Dessers pass that late fitness test, or will it be Danilo who leads the line? A new loan arrival, Jaden Magoma, has been registered in time to play, but the 19-year-old may not be match ready. We're expecting team news around 6:45, Gordon, so I'll bring you that when it comes. Of course, the draw could have landed the jurors against other European giants like Benfica or Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce at this stage. But with Bruges here tonight, it's no less daunting. The Belgians were excellent in Glasgow last season. They were hard done by to come away from Celtic Park with just a point. They reached the last 16 of that competition and have been in the group stage in seven of the past nine seasons. So they're very experienced at this level. And they boast Belgian international Hans Vaneken and Christos Tsolis. Just ask Scotland fans about the Greek winger's talent. They've won six of seven matches this season, including both legs in their previous tie against Salzburg. The referee is Francois Letessier from France. Fans will be shortly starting to flood in here, Gordon. Kickoff at 8. And just for a hand back to you, I was at Livingston's game on Sunday, and Marv, he must have been wearing an extra small t-shirt, I'm telling you.
Yep, and he's got it on tonight as well. Absolutely disgraceful. But anyway, let's stick with the phones just now. We'll get to Marvin's fashion choices later on. Gary's on the line. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, good evening, Gordon, Marvin. Other Gordon, how are you all doing?
All Gary, good, Gary. What are you thinking?
I'm on my way over to Ibrox just now. And I think, tonight's obviously it's going to be a tough game. Bruges are a good team. We've seen that in the pre-season game. But I think long-term, obviously Marvin and Gordon have been involved in the game at a management level. And I just wonder, from their point of view, what the end game is for kind of Russell Martin here, because the support are so split around how we're playing, what his shape is, how he wants to see a team, is it going to work? And there just seems to be zero patience just now. And I know a lot of people were championing Steven Gerrard at the start of the season, but it took 3 years for Steven Gerrard to get that team. And I think since then, Russell Martin is having to repair 4 and 5 years of an attitude and a mentality that hasn't been good enough for Rangers, and I don't think 7-8 weeks is going to cover that. I think it is going to be a bit of pain for some time, but I just wonder how long the board will accept that and how long the fans will accept that, because he's not coming on an even keel, because a lot of the fans didn't want him to get the job in the first place. I don't know if that makes it harder or how that is turned round from a manager point of view.
Yeah, what do you think, Gordon? I've been wondering about this as well, about the kind of the bigger picture of, you know, how Russell Martin does handle all this negativity that's there already, and where this sort of does go, because there's been so much said, and he's trying to find his way through it whilst constantly battling against all that stuff as well. Gary makes an interesting point. I think is he the victim of years of failure, really, and then it's almost taken out on him?
Yeah, I can understand that statement. It's a bit of a slow burner for him. before he, when he was just getting appointed, Gordon, we had many phone calls, unhappy Rangers fans saying it wasn't the right appointment. But when he's in the building as the Rangers manager going forward under a new regime, you've got to give him all the support in the world. And I think the board have certainly done that, the amount of players that they brought in. It's a big few games coming up. Tonight is massive. He's obviously got St Mirren away, which we all know how difficult that is. Then he's away again to Bruges. And then obviously Celtic come calling. So it's going to be a big few games coming up for the manager. But it changes very quickly. Marv will tell you, all of a sudden you're down there, you're thinking, we need a result. And you produce a result, and Rangers are brilliant at it in Europe. Let's be honest, doesn't matter who the manager is. For some reason, they just seem to step up here. This will be a massive game tonight for them. I wouldn't be sitting here saying, rip it all up and start again. I think Rangers have been down that road too many times, and I don't think they'll do that. Yes, Russell Martin will feel the pressure because he's played here. Okay, it was a brief spell. He's now the manager here. He knows the club now, inside out probably. He knows the demands that are put on him. So he will have to handle that pressure. But I'm not sitting in the camp of rip it all up. If he doesn't win his next couple of games, rip it up, get him out, start again. And then a new manager comes in. There's 10 new players in the building. He's looking at these players thinking, I wouldn't have signed half of them. Then you're back to square one. I think you've got to go with this. I think you've just got to go along with it. And for Rangers' sake, hope that Russell Martin produces the goods.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, the impatience will come from the supporters, not from the board for me. You know, he's obviously sat in front of them. He's got the jobs when, you know, plenty of other people applied. And he's the man that decided to take them forward. There's no doubt about it. He knew there'd be a massive task here at Rangers Football Club. I think what's made it more difficult for him has been, you know, the result against Dundee at home, the performance away to Motherwell and the result. So, you know, domestically, I think Rangers fans always expected there to be a massive change with the new owners coming and a new manager. But when those changes are being made, Gordon, he has to keep picking up points. And I mean 3 points by that. It's expected by them. Rangers fans won't like to admit it, but if you get beat by Celtic, it's kind of understandable, right? We understand that. But against the rest of the league, they're saying we have to pick up 3 points. And that's been the thing for them. It's been really, really stop-start for them. So now, tonight's a massive, massive game for them. But I don't think Russell Martin's in any danger of losing his job. He'll still believe in what he wants to do. And it's just going to take a little bit longer than maybe some people thought. But I don't think Russell Martin came into this job thinking it was an overnight fix. And people keep saying you don't get time in Glasgow. At some point, Rangers Football Club are going to have to give somebody time. They've done it with Steven Gerrard. They're going to have to, you know, try and do it with Russell Martin.
How important is tonight, Gary? Because you hear a lot, the financial side of it just speaks for itself. Any club in the world would rather have the Champions League money than not have it. You obviously also want to win every game. Then there are others that say domestic football is the priority, and maybe in the end up, a Europa League would be a better level for Russell Martin to take his new team into. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of competing thoughts out there. Again, then you mentioned the narrow bit of the picture of, quite simply, it'll get stick if they don't win tonight, because that's just kind of how football works. How important is it?
Yeah, that for me, it's important from a financial point of view. I think, is this team ready to go into the Champions League? Probably not, but that's not the issue. You go in there and you take the money that comes with it, and it allows you to start building blocks for the following season, and you can get into that player trading model, etc. I think it's important in that sense. If we don't win, I don't think it's the end of the world, because you said yourself there, we are good in the Europa League. It is a tournament that we're comfortable in. I think the problem we're losing just now is it just then turns into a pile-on for the manager, because if you then drop anything at St Mirren at the weekend, the Celtic game becomes huge at this point. And I know the board, Marvin said there, the board obviously are looking at it long-term. I wonder if that begins to change, if the fans start to turn in a bigger way, it would just be interesting. I hope he does it. I really do. I think he comes across well, and I agree with Marvin. It's a long term. It's going to take time. It's going to take more than one season. It's going to take more than a couple of transfer windows. There's a lot of players there on contracts that aren't going to play. And as much as we want players in, we need to get players out as well. It doesn't make good business sense to keep adding and adding when you've got 8-9 players there that aren't going to feature.
Well, thank you, Gary, for his thoughts. He's kicked us off tonight. Looking forward to the game at Ibrox. Nadeem is also a Rangers fan. What's your take on where Rangers find themselves at the moment, Nadeem?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just think that you said the other on your show there, Gordon, about what is Rangers' best team for tonight. You know, we've also got issues at left back, we've got issues up front. You know, I just think, see, if I'm honest, I don't even know if Russell Martin knows his best team at the moment. I'm not getting on at Russell Martin because I'm 100% behind him. I think he needs to, like as Marvin said earlier on, it's a longer term project. It's going to take a few transfer windows, and he's going to have players that you'll probably sign, and then you'll probably think, actually, you know what, maybe they're not good enough, and they'll maybe leave in a year or two's time as well. So that's probably going to happen. But for me, I mean, the biggest indicator for me, Gordon, was the fact that he starts with Max Aarons, you know, at the start of the season, even the pre-seasons and all that, and then he moves him to right back, takes Taverney out, and then a couple of weeks later puts Taverney back in, and Max Aarons out of the team. He does a similar thing with Raskin. He starts with Danilo when Dessers was available up front, and it's no work. So he's kind of reverted back to type a little bit with the players that are already there. But we're just not playing very well at the moment, and I would love, I mean, my heart says we'll go through in the tie. I just don't, my head says it's probably not going to happen, because I mean, this team, Club Brugge, they've been in the last seven, the last nine Champions Leagues they've been there, you know, so they are a Champions League club. They just, you know, they've sold 70 odd million pounds of players in the close season there, so, and they've bought half of that back in terms of new players, so they're a top side. And I don't think any Rangers fans should go along thinking that, you know, we'll easily be able to get a result. I genuinely think this will be really, really difficult.
And that's what we said, Marvin, about the big picture, though. In isolation, let's say a narrow failure to get past Bruges and into the Champions League is not some big disaster for Rangers. It's not some big embarrassment. But once it comes on the back of a slow start domestically, the pressure just cranks up. That's the way it is here. It's all, you know, it's all linked. If Rangers batter Motherwell, batter Dundee, and you know what, fall short against a good team in Bruges, people would take that on the chin. This would just be harder to swallow because of that stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be a lot harder to swallow because of that goal. And I also think the performances, like you said there, against Dundee and Motherwell, because against Dundee, they weren't really banging at the door. Motherwell goalkeeper wasn't man of the match. The Motherwell game, they were probably lucky to get a point. So it's not as if Rangers have performed really well in those games. So yes, there is added pressure on a more difficult opponent tonight. But it's one of those games that, you know, the Rangers players, they need to stand up and be counted. It's so, so important they go out there and put a good performance in and try and get a lead going into the second leg. And Russell Martin will understand that. As I said, you know, he understands the pressures of that football club. You know, he won't be deluded by absolutely anything. But now the players need to go out there and put a performance in, because that's what the Rangers fans want. Listen, if Rangers, like you said, don't go through, but perform extremely well in both games, you can come away and say, you know what, we were unlucky and we haven't won those games. You kind of accept it. But if they don't perform, you know, they perform the way they have been performing of recent, you know, against the Dundees and the Motherwells, and then, you know, they get a sore one, then the pressure's going to crank up 100%.
That's why, look, we always make big deal of a big match day, Gordon. We love debating the team and finding out. Nadine makes a really good point, because Russell Martin's already played that hand where he makes the big calls and takes a couple of them out. And then because they did get the response straight away, you might think, well, that's now the strongest team. But then that team didn't necessarily work either. So it'd be interesting to see what he sort of settles on tonight.
He's
got limitations.
Obviously. I do believe that Russell Martin is sitting just now and he doesn't know what his strongest starting 11 is. You know what I mean? He's not had a settled side, but it's early. New players have been coming in the door. You look at Ant-Man, for instance, getting thrown in right away to a massive game and produced the goods, you've got to say. So it'll be interesting to see his lineup tonight, Gordon. I keep going back to, I know there's frustrations at Ibrox because of what's happened in recent years and the way the clubs went. It's a different road now. I think they'll need to be a little bit of patience here. There's massive games coming up for Russell Martin. You know, you look at tonight, I think you touched on it there. If he'd got off to a good start in the league campaign, cruised by Alawa, which they didn't, then losing this Champions League wallet, I think Rangers fans would accept it. You know, thinking, right, okay, we're in the Europa League. We've got that to look forward to. We look like we're, you know, starting to kick on a little bit. But it's not been that start the Rangers fans have been looking for. This is massive tonight. Look, this could turn tonight. We could be inundated with calls tomorrow shouting about how great Russell Martin is and his tactics. Because if he goes and gets a good result tonight, the Rangers fans will be absolutely delighted with that.
Nadeem, thank you very much. How are you all feeling out there? Are you agreeing with what Nadeem and the previous callers have said? Are you disagreeing? What about that team? Because we're getting closer. So who should play left back? Who should lead the line? What does the rest of it look like? Give us your thoughts. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here on a big night of qualification action for Rangers. Looking for your thoughts if you're heading along to the game or you're just settling down to tune in at home. What are you thinking generally in terms of confidence-wise, optimism-wise, the bigger picture for Rangers, where they're at, where Russell Martin's at, and then specifically that team tonight. Who plays left-back? Who leads the line? There are other issues, but those seem like the two most pressing. So get your suggestions into the guys right now, please. Celtic fans, another day, another set of transfer questions to Brendan Rodgers. Sometimes he shoots them down, sometimes he answers in great detail. Today he was probably more in the second camp. Even though it was the day before the Champions League, he was more than willing to discuss his slight frustrations, shall we say, on the business so far. So give us your thoughts there. Did you think there would be a player in place before this tie? Because of course you can make late signings, you can make late changes to the squad. It would look very unlikely now. Still possible, of course, but did you expect something by now, or are you happy to wait until the end of the window? Get your thoughts in, please, and we'll speak to you as soon as we can. Craig is going to carry us on in the phones, though. Craig, what are you thinking from a Rangers fan's perspective?
Good evening, guys. I'm probably in the minority where I'm completely now behind Russell Martin. I wasn't for him at the start of the pre-season and obviously the start of the season, but it's going to sound weird, but watching the Alloa game, I could actually see what he was trying to do and being there, you know, in terms of, I know he made 10 changes, but the guy is going to be robust and he's going to stick to this formation, and as far as I'm concerned, the 49ers are going to stick behind him, you know, at least until the end of the season, no matter what. For me, I think you need to give the guy time. The one thing that's concerning me is the back four, and the fact that all the signings are loan deals. That would be the concern for me, because he's signed people in the attacking areas and that's given that commitment to the club. But, you know, your Dejas, your Max Ahrens, and the guy we brought into Brentford there, like, over here for a year, you know, and it's that short. And obviously Suter's out of contract at the end of the season, so it's that short-term mentality. But I'm hoping if we get through Bruges, which I think we will, and listen, I'm going to... I know you guys love to do these things on YouTube and set, you know, the comments up, but I'm going to lay myself up here. I think Rangers are going to win tonight, draw with St Mirren, get a result in Belgium, qualify for the Champions League, beat Celtic, and that'll be the results over the next kind of 10 days or so. So, again, I'm putting myself out there to be shot down for that, but I think, like Gordon DL said earlier on the show, Rangers perform in Europe and in the big games, and I think, again, I'm going to put myself up there to be shot down, but Celtic have got a away trip, you know, next Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Whether it's Azerbaijan or something.
Kazakhstan. Nearly China, if you look at the map. It's pretty far.
But they've already got the excuses for losing at Ibrox for that one, for their travel plans. But in all seriousness, I really do think Rangers will get the two results over Bruges, over the two legs, based on Rangers in Europe in the last 5 years and the Celtic results over last season. But my main concern, as I say, guys, is the back four. You don't have that potential stability going into the season.
Craig,
so just quickly, somewhere in a leafy Glasgow suburb, Hugh Keevans is proud of Craig predicting four games at once.
Well, I was going to say,
I quite like Craig's style.
I fancied putting a couple of quid on the Euromillions tonight, but I'm taking that money back and I'm going with Craig Zacha.
Please gamble responsibly.
I think it would be worth more money to me. But look, I'm delighted that you're a supporter, you're confident in your team. Why not? You know, I certainly don't think it'll come up, but I do agree. I said that Rangers in Europe. We've written them off many times. The minute the big clubs come calling to Ibrox and you're thinking, oh, this has got to be too big now, Rangers aren't in a good place, what happens? They turn over a brilliant result. And the fans sit and think, well, where's that every Saturday or Sunday in domestic football? Yeah, they've got a difficult, difficult time coming up. But I think Craig's quite right to highlight one thing, and every Rangers supporter travelling along to Ibrox tonight will be the exact same for me. Rangers look like they can lose goals, and if you lose goals against top quality teams like they're coming up against soon, I don't think that ACA's got to come up.
Well, listen, let's not worry too much about whether Craig gets the result right in three games' time. Let's bring ourselves back to tonight, Marvin. Craig's worry is the back four. What do you think it will look like when we hear the team?
I think Tavernier will go in at right back. Jigger and Sue will be the two centre halves, and I think Aarons will play at left back, just for the team that I've written down there. Just for the fact that, listen, I know Max Aarons doesn't want to be playing at left back, but he's done it. You know, he's played at Ibrox, he's played in front of the home fans. I think it's really, really difficult to bring in a lone player and throw him straight into a game of this magnitude. I think Tavernier's also experience will help them massively on the right hand side. Whether you think he long term he should be playing there or not. But I think that's what the back four will look. But I agree with Craig, you know, defensively they have looked shaky at times. I speak about it all the time as a lack of balance there for me, you know, with two right footers playing left side of centre half and left back. I think it's just so easy to press, you know. It's not as if, you know, Rangers are going long with their goal kicks. They're trying to play through the lines, and all teams are doing is saying, right, let it go to their left-hand side and then press from there, because then you've got two boys using their weaker foot, and that's normally when, you know, they intercept the next pass. So they're going to be key tonight, those players. But I do think in front of that, Gordon, it will look slightly different. I think Raskin and Rodwell both play as holding mids.
Gordon, the choices aren't, you know, there's not a perfect choice. That's why we're having the debate. Mm. It's either Max Aarons, who Russell Martin has said is not the long-term solution at left back. He's also not looked particularly comfortable at left back already. Or it's Magoma, who's just signed on loan. Now, that's time frame wise, that's not impossible, mm-hmm. because he's had more time than Oliver Antman did, mm-hmm. in the previous game when he came in and did so well in Europe. But again, probably not ideal. It's not he's not a player that's played a lot of football, mm-hmm. you know, in his career. So what's the lesson?
That's the thing that wouldn't surprise you, because of the situation Martin. He just threw him in there, and everybody's thinking, oh, hold on a minute.
It's easier there as an attacking player,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I agree with you. I think he'll go with Aarons tonight, right? But I think it's a big night for a boy. I've not been impressed with him. But like everything else, Gordon, I'm not going to sit here and judge him, and we're not even out of August. So I think sometimes it takes time when you adapt to come to a club the size of Rangers and the Scottish football and everything about it. I think that people say, right, okay, he's been played out his position. He didn't even look good at right back for me, and that's his natural position. Mm. So there's an argument to say, yeah, let the lad settle in. He's been brought up because Rangers think he's going to be a decent player for them. But tonight, if he goes into that left back berth, I think that's a big night for him. Mm.
Okay, who do you think should lead the line? Because Cyril Dessers, we're not quite sure if he's fit. Russell Martin explicitly said he wouldn't start Aguiman at the weekend, so I don't know if he's changed his mind. Danilo has then, you know, been, what are you two chuckling at? Did one of you have him in the team?
No, I didn't. Was that Craig saying or was that something else that you did?
It was his mouth.
He nearly committed his tax.
Behave yourself. For goodness sake. Craig, honestly.
Excuse me, Craig.
What chance have you got? Craig wouldn't do that on live radio. Honestly, I've now lost my train of thought. Craig, who should lead the line? He said he wouldn't play Aguiman. We don't know if Dessers is fit. And without sounding unfair, maybe Danilo hasn't been pulling up trees.
Listen, I know there's a clip of me on your YouTube channel saying Danilo could have been the best number nine in Scotland, but...
you're having a bad night.
But for me, Aguiman, even a 75% Aguiman causes Bruges more problems than Danilo does, because Aguiman is someone who's going to move. Danilo just stands like a statue, you know, and Dessers has got his faults, but for me, Aguiman needs to start tonight. And just on what the guys were saying there about the left-back situation, I thought it was quite interesting the manager actually had Tav at left-back at one point, you know, in this formation he's wanting to use with
I hate to use Postecoglou as the example, but for me, Russell Martin's trying to copy Guardiola style because it's nothing like Postecoglou. Postecoglou was fast attacking football. Pep Guardiola is possession based. And listen, before I get shot down, I'm not comparing Russell Martin and Pep Guardiola, but for me, it's that kind of inverted fullbacks, you know, control the ball, dominate the possession, this, that and the other. With inverted fullbacks, it gives you the extra three men in midfield. I get what he's trying to do. I just hope because, and again, Gordon, I do apologise for taking up your time. I'm about to get picked up to take over to Ibrox.
That's
but,
what we're here for, don't you worry.
But in terms of that, you know, Postecoglou did get a lot of time from the Celtic fans, you know, in terms of implementing what he wanted to do. I would say Rangers fans are a bit more demanding, given what's happened in the last 12, 13 years. We're a bit more impatient. I think if you give this guy a chance and the correct players, and I said this to Marvin a couple of weeks ago, if you give him the correct players and get him wingers, and it's quite obvious that he wants Gassama, Antman, Mikey Moore, and if we get another one in, stretch the pitch, get the fullbacks in the middle, bounce in like a football manager expert. but that's what he's trying to do, and as I say, it's not Postecoglou. For me, it's a bit more Pep Guardiola, slow build, and then go boom, 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 attack when you get the ball in the final third. But for me, it has to be Eggeman starting through the middle because I wouldn't risk Dessers. Danilo, I completely take back what I said about being the best number nine in Scotland. That was more hope through anything, and obviously the fact we spent £6 million on the guy. But I think what also, sorry, just the last point in this one, I think we need to get a lot of the high earners off the books before the end of the window, regardless of whether or not we make the Champions League. Your Rabi Matondos, I think he needs to get one of, it's probably going to be Bezrami, but for me it would be Keenan Dowell. But you need to get one of those out. So it'd be Rabi Matondo, Yilmaz still needs to go, Ben Davies still needs to go. And for me, you need to get one of Dessers, Danilo and Eggeman out and bring in someone else.
Craig, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to thank you for your time and bring in Jordan, who's in Cooper. Jordan, he's just stolen your thunder, hasn't he? You were just about to nip in and make that very point. So why don't you just take the baton and move on with it?
Oh, every Rangers fan's thunder because I think you took every point.
that was your core point, wasn't it? About players, you know, moving out the way.
I definitely done a bit of research, and then he just started rattling off all the names that I'd done the research into.
Come on, tell us about your research. I want to hear
after,
it.
Right, after evening, gents. Yeah. It was he brought up the loans. I do think we're bringing in a lot of loans, but we sent at the moment we have Double, Matondo, Davies, Ridvan, possibly Cortez, possibly Danilo, Bajrami. He's just been dropped out of the European squad, so all these players don't seem to be in. And Nsiala, but I would keep Nsiala in Russell Martin's thoughts. And we don't seem to be getting any of them out, but we seem to be bringing a lot of lone players in, and that's what seems to be worrying me. I was wondering what the panel's
hardest job in the world. Hardest job in the world. And I know it sounds easy. Get them out. They're big earners. They're not going to go forward with Rangers. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. Right, come in, Ben Davies. We want you out. He's on a massive contract. Listen, MD would do the same. You're sitting there. You will only do the best for yourself. You'll be selfish, it's in the individual. You've been given the contract. Remember, it's not the player's fault. They were given the contract. I think that's why Rangers have brought in a lot of loans, because they can't commit to these long-term contracts because of what's in the building. But when they're big earners and they're not playing, they're not producing, they're not going to leave easily. That's the problem.
Who, with no disrespect to them, based on what they've done, surely it's going to be hard to find a club to give Rabi Matondo the money he's getting.
Impossible.
Ben Davies. And we're all focused on the benefits of getting to the Champions League without knowing for sure. I think it's a pretty safe bet to say there's probably guys in there that will get a nice bonus. Yeah. If Rangers qualify for the Champions League, their wage might even go up. Mm-hmm.
Needing to play,
that's
Gordon.
That's the reality of it.
And that's the thing, you know, about all the players that Jordan named there, none of them are going to move on from Rangers Football Club and get more money. It's just not going to happen. So even if you end up loaning those players out, Jordan, Rangers will still end up paying 50% of their wages.
Or a lot of it. I mean, yeah. Ben Davis went to Birmingham last season. Rangers still paid a lot of his wages.
That's what I mean. So you get 50% probably at best. So it's one of those situations there. You know, it's easy to say, as Gordon said there, you know, get these players out and move them on. But none of them are, you know, they're all at the peak of their earning capacity for me at this moment in time. And that's what's making it difficult to get them out.
You make a fair point, though, Jordan. Thank you very much. Sorry, I'm going to have to leave it there because I need to tell you about this before we move on.
The Cash for Kids Sports Challenge with Cairn Hill, supporting the local community for over 50 years.
Yes, the Cash for Kids Sports Challenge is back. It's a unique fundraising competition. So raising money to give children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire the chance to get involved in their favourite sport. From children in low-income families or those with additional needs, access to play sport can be difficult, as I think we all know. But what we also know is the benefits of getting active and what that can do for you. So this challenge is about breaking down the barriers to make sure every child can get involved. So get your local sports team, local group, local club, whatever it is, to sign up and take part. You fundraise for a month, after which Cash for Kids grants back to you 100% of the money that you've raised. Plus, they've got extra funding worth thousands of pounds to win for those who manage to raise the most. Sound good? Head to Clyde1.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. Was that my phone? Somebody's phone was going off. It might have been mine, to be fair.
Please,
all three of them are on the desk, so we can panic amongst ourselves. Very unprofessional. Even Hugh Keevans, though, he's fired up his phone, the Nokia. He said he almost spilled his red wine in praise of Craig, who came on and made, what was that, a fourfold for four Rangers' next four matches. Listen, you're
don't
laughing now.
It. If it comes in.
What if he's right?
Mate, if it comes in, I'll have any
so
what, four.
So what one were you not agreeing with?
Probably most of them. What one was I not agreeing with?
St Mirren draw.
St Mirren draw, yeah. And Celtic. I think that'll be a tough, tough game.
So
and Bruges.
Both of them.
Away. But I think Rangers could do it tonight.
But other than that, you do think they could do it tonight?
Yeah.
Did you give us your team, incidentally? I just had great fun during the break when I looked over at Marvin Bartley's paper and he had Bahrami written down. But the same Bahrami that's not in the European squad.
I subbed him out. I subbed him out.
He says to me, he's a certainty. No,
I did not say that to you.
You did. If there's one person coming out that tunnel tonight, there he
is. Him. He's captain.
Let's ask Gabriel who is playing.
Yeah, Gordon, really interesting team news just come out of the changing rooms here at Ibrox. There's seven changes to the team from the weekend. The headline, 19-year-old Jaden Meghoma starts. Only signed a few days ago. He comes in at left back. There is no place for captain James Tavernier. So he is amongst the substitutes and Max Aarons starts at right back. So the team is as follows. Jack Butland in goal. A defence of Max Aarons, Nasser Jigga, John Souter, who will captain aside, and Jaden Meghoma. Joe Rothwell is joined in midfield by Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamande. Oliver Antman and Jedi Gassama are either side of Danilo. Substitutes Kelly, Tavernier, Barron, Asgard, Cameron, Dowell, Igerman, Fernandez, Moore, Gentles, Curtis and Hutton.
Well, what do you make of that?
I think they'll lose goals. I really do. I think that, look, I know that the Rangers fans travelling down to Ibrox will be looking and think, oh, right, get Tavernier out and stuff like that. Tonight, for me, when you've got a back four like that, two young fullbacks against what you'd say, a real strong side. They're a decent side. I know Tavernier's not everybody's cup of tea, but he's experienced, he's a captain, everything about it. I'm surprised at that team, I really am. Danilo up front, I keep saying, I'm always waiting for him.
I just wonder if he had any real choice there.
I know.
Up front.
Yeah, probably not. A big game. Look, these guys could rise to the occasion. It's not exciting me on paper, but we all know, as I say in the game here, the game's not played on paper, it's on the grass.
Oh, is that just you that says that? Another one of those. Brilliant.
What do you think,
Marvin? What do you think, Marvin? The James Tavernier one is so interesting because he does split opinion. There are loads of Rangers fans, in case you hadn't heard, who phone in the show and doubt his qualities for the team. But Max Aarons hasn't necessarily shown yet that, he's worth keeping James Tavernier out of the team. Now, this stems back really to the Pilsen game at home when James Tavernier did come out and Max Aarons went in, and it was one of Rangers', you know, better, well, it'd be their high point this season, wouldn't it, be their best performance. But then the very next game, Max Aarons also started at right back. There was no James Tavernier, and that was the Dundee game. Yeah. So you wondered if that would like reset things a bit.
Yeah, I'm very, very surprised that James Tavernier isn't starting. You know, as I said, bringing in a young player at left back, just signed on loan, into such a massive game, as we say, he's not played an awful lot of football either for a man of his age. So I'm surprised at that. But even with him starting at left back, I thought Tavernier would have still been at right back. You know, as I said, that experience, I think the back four, if you look at Rangers' team, is probably the most shaky part of it. And I just think having your captain back there, your leader back there, whatever people think of him, he's played an awful lot of games for Rangers. And in European football, he's always done extremely well for them. I just thought he would be a shoo-in to play at right back. But listen, Russell Martin works with these players every single day. He's there to make the massive calls. And one positive, I think, from a Rangers fan's point of view, is he's not hiding away from it. He's not just thinking, let's go with the experienced boys. And he's going with the team that he thinks gives him the best opportunity to win this game, regardless of age, regardless of when they've signed, regardless of anything else. So, yeah, listen, he's gone with his team, and hopefully for him it works out. But if it doesn't work out, Gordon, and if they do look shaky at the back, and as you know, Gordon's saying there, they concede a lot of goals tonight, you know, he's going to be on a tightrope, really.
Huge for Jaden Magoma, who's just come in. Mark is a Rangers fan. Mark, I know you called in before the team. Now the team's out, so it's up to you. You can give us your reaction to the team or whatever else is on your mind.
Well, we'd like to just speak about a couple of Rangers fans that's actually came on the phone in tonight saying they would rather be in the Europa League. Now, I can't understand, because Rangers need the money for the Champions League to get back established where they belong, plus the UEFA Fair Play would give Rangers more money to spend, plus better sponsorships, etc. Just to get Gordon's point in that. And I want to make another point after that about Phil Clement and Copen as well.
Look, I totally agree. If you're Rangers, you want to be in the top competitions, you want to be where the money is, because you know, Rangers, like everybody else, doesn't matter if you're cash rich, you're better being in the real competitions where you're earning all the money. They're two games away from it, two massive games.
Is there any, because I'm talking to you two from a kind of coaching, managing perspective, is there any chance that in his quietest private moments, Russell Martin would separate the money from...
Yeah,
maybe the Europa League would be the better level for us to develop and learn this season and play my way? Or does he then look at, well, next season I'll have more money to spend if we get into the Champions League? How does that work?
The only way I would separate it is simple for me, Gordon. See if I could look and think, I've got St Mirren and Celtic and I can go and win those two games, I would easily drop back into Europa League, because your bread and butter... They'll be judged how close or can they overtake Celtic, which is a massive ask. So if you're looking at your league campaign and you're thinking, bread and butter, yep, okay, we'll take a little bit of disappointment, we'll drop the money a little bit, but domestically over the season, we can start to improve and show everybody the way forward.
Don't get me wrong, Marvin, I don't really think there is much of a debate. You cannot say no to the Champions League money. Like, you have to do that. Like, that's just, that is a no-brainer. But like I say, just on a sort of purely management perspective, is there any case, or do you just keep pushing and test yourself at the highest?
I think he keeps pushing. I think as a manager, you want to, you know, play against other managers at the highest level, which is the Champions League. I think if you're saying if it's Europa or Conference League, I think that's when you probably say to yourself, do you know what, going to the Conference League might not be the worst
thing. So different.
Yeah, but I just think Champions League, I just think that level of football and the players are coming up against the criteria of them means you want to be in it.
Mark, very quickly on your next point, if you can, we're a bit late.
Yes, it's just obviously when Gordon Dale says earlier on about the Rangers manager, Russell Martin, has to kind of start with the squad that obviously that's causing problems. Phil Clement came in and nearly won Rangers the league until the injury struck, plus the Scottish Cup. Could have won Rangers the Scottish Cup. We were cheated in the League Cup. We were cheated. Just to get his point in that.
I have no idea what you're saying. What did I apparently say?
Obviously, you said your call earlier on about, obviously, Russell Martin, obviously, with them players, it's obviously going to be hard to work with. Now, Philip Clement came in and nearly won the league in his first season.
What players did I say was going to be hard to work with? I don't understand. Well, the only thing I said was that the players in the building that they're trying to get out is going to be hard to do. That's the only thing I say. I didn't say anything about hard to work with.
Thank you very much to Mark.
I agree with Mark.
Let's agree to disagree. Barami's not in the team tonight, Marvin. You're surprised to hear. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Roger Hannah got 10 last night.
I heard.
Really?
No pressure.
I heard it.
Big shoes to fill.
For him,
tough act to follow.
He was sitting there last week and got a 10.
Did he?
Yeah, good to see you back.
No,
actually.
No,
it was,
no, hold
it was
on.
One week ago, you were off sick and Marvin was left alone.
But see, before we get any further, I will correct this man because the professional arm, I sat in my sick bed and watched it and Hugh was sitting there.
Oh.
Because I was thinking.
The hot seat.
Yeah. Why is Marv in my seat?
Beat the Pundit tonight. Your chance to perhaps get 10 out of 10. You don't even need to do it. You can win the sign ball. You can humiliate Marvin Bartley or Gordon Dale in the process. So get in touch before 7 o'clock on 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's a big night of Champions League qualification for Rangers. An interesting team. Aaron's Giga Suter Megoma at the back. Diamandé, Raskin and Rothwell. Gassama, Antman and Danilo up front. Rangers fans, what do you make of that? Celtic fans, you've got a big game of your own. It's the playoff round tomorrow for you. Karat Almaty at home before that 7,000 mile round trip to Kazakhstan next week. How important is tomorrow? First leg advantage and all that. As usual though, it's been overshadowed in a way by talk of transfers. Would the squad have reinforcements for tomorrow night's game? That's been the question for the last couple of weeks. It looks like the answer is no. Brendan Rodgers spoke about that today, and you can hear what he had to say after we play this. So get your calls in.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Get your calls in for afterwards, but I'm looking forward to putting these two on the spot. The bar has been set for the week. Roger Hannah bounced back from a recent defeat by getting 10 last night. Even Hugh Keevans has managed a 10 this season. These two, hopeless in comparison. John is in Burmullock. How are you, John?
Not bad, pal,
yourself? Not bad. First time on Beat the Pundit?
It's my first time, yeah.
Good. Who did the public think is the weaker player out of Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dale?
DL.
Okay, John, yeah. The DL that's got 100% record this season.
What is it? Played one, won one.
How long have you been playing this year?
I've played two. Convincingly.
I don't believe him.
1-2. Have a look at the record.
I feel like he's sort of turned up in the middle. We haircut, what we call that?
Looking good.
It's called sharp.
Is that, is that number one at the sides?
No, it was a number two, but I think I think he understood the number.
I'd be asking questions.
Exactly. But I'll tell you what, grows in.
Weight loss going well.
Weight loss going well.
Sickness,
the abs
stopped.
Are coming back. The muscles
not been
are
sick strong. Anymore.
No, I'm fine. Good. I'm fine. Everything's
good.
Fine.
Delighted,
going forward. I'm onwards and upwards,
Mark. Right. Anyway, John, if I toss the new Super Scoreboard Beat the Pundit coin and it lands on the blue side, it'll be Marvin Bartley. The red side will be Gordon DL. Let's see what we've got tonight. Oh, it's Mr. Skin Tight Livingston tracksuit up against John from Burnley.
I don't like that coin. Do you know why? Because before you even turn it,
you can see it.
Yeah.
Just close your eyes.
I try to even look over here and it just.
I would love to have taken him on.
Beat the Pundit is the sort of light-hearted element of the show.
It's not light-hearted.
Can we just get it out there? What size is that jumper?
Yeah.
For anyone in
XL.
Live stream, it's really, that's quite something.
Well, I see the M in the back of it. I'll tell you what, your initials is bigger than your jacket.
It's XL.
That's no XL.
Right. Do you have to zip it right up to the neck to just magnify how tight it is?
Joma, medium.
No, see, it's definitely XL.
I appreciate some people are just listening on radio and this doesn't necessarily
don't know
work.
What the hell's
but if
going
you do
on.
Want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, by the way, if you want to see the most skin tight club
I'm gonna take it off
you've
in
ever seen,
anyway.
Please don't. John, you will play Marvin, so I'll give him something else to
good
listen
luck, John.
To. Oh. And we'll get straight to your questions, John. 30 seconds, you answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah.
Top man, John, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the last Belgian to play for Rangers?
Raskin.
Paul Lambert left Motherwell to join which club?
Borussia Dortmund.
What team did Gordon Strachan manage after leaving Celtic?
Middlesbrough.
Who was the Rangers manager last time they faced Club Bruges in the Champions League? How many times did Henrik Larsson win PFA Player of the Year?
Four.
Who was the only former SPFL player to score in the English Premier League at the weekend?
No, sorry.
That's a hard one, I think. Time pressure. Let's bring him back, Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us?
I can.
Oh.
What do you think, tough?
A little bit, yeah. If you don't got on a roll.
I'm worried for him as well, because I think quite a few predate his time up here.
I know. I'll write them down.
I think you're under pressure tonight.
Big game.
Are you ready?
I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah. Same set of questions. And your time, Marvin Bartley, starts now. Who was the last Belgian to play for Rangers?
Raskin.
Paul Lambert left Motherwell to join which club?
Dortmund.
Which team did Gordon Strachan manage after leaving Celtic?
Middlesbrough.
Who was the Rangers manager the last time they faced Club Bruges in the Champions League?
Clermont.
How many times did Henrik Larsson win PFA Player of the Year?
Three.
Who was the only former SPFL player to score in the opening weekend of the English Premier League?
Pass.
True or false? Jamie Vardy was once on loan at Stirling Albion.
False.
What a chance. Okay.
John, what's the verdict?
That's all right, mate. You've done okay.
You got one more question, and never let it be said that pace was an issue for you. I can't believe you got through more questions than John.
Do you know, can I say something? Of all the time I've been on this show, I only just realised the counter going down there. So when you were asking that, who scored 7 seconds left, I was like, nah, pass. Get me onto the next one.
Oh, would you listen to the
game? That's brilliant, mate.
I've only just realised.
Well, like, do you know what then? I'm going to start counteracting that. I'm either going to cover up the TV, or I'm going to suggest that the contestant starts their own.
Do you know something? That's that good. I'm now wondering why Livy's out the cup.
I'll tell you why. He trained today. He trained with the team.
Did you, mate?
And you wonder why they went out the cup at
and
the weekend.
My team won.
All right, you trained in the
session. Yeah, we won. Conceded one goal.
Carried you as a part. Was it some sort of exercise to like
unbelievable
compensate for a bad teammate or something?
Listen, this is the second time I joined in training and we've won.
I know what it is. Is that like training for when your team goes down to 10 men?
You got him on your
this
team
is for.
Down a man.
Let's go through them. The last Belgian to play for Rangers, you both kept your cool and got the obvious answer. It was Nicholas Raskin. Paul Lambert left Motherwell to join Borussia Dortmund. Mm. You both got it. Gordon Strachan went to Middlesbrough after Celtic. You both got it.
Oh, brilliant.
The last Rangers manager to face Club Bruges in the Champions League was actually Walter Smith in 92-93 season.
No way he got that.
He did not get it. How many times did Henrik Larsson win PFA Player of the Year? It was twice.
Why are you saying that after he said the answers?
Because I know the
knew
answers to this.
None of you got it.
I'm going for 10.
Who was the only former SPFL player to score in England's Premier League at the weekend?
Ryan Christie.
Nope, didn't play.
He's injured.
Good guess though.
I didn't know.
Good guess.
That's the only one I could think of.
It was a penalty. He's had a new haircut over the summer, I noticed.
Who's
Matt
he
play? O'Reilly.
Oh, of course.
None of you got it. So all comes down to true or false. Jamie Vardy was once on loan at Stirling Albion.
No way, he came through non-league, surely not.
Jay Rodriguez once went on loan to Stirling Albion.
From Burnley, though.
Listen, just give Marvin.
Jamie Vardy was non-league.
Jamie Vardy did not.
Thanks for coming.
John, that's harsh on you to lose out to that. I think
that's a ridiculous question. Ridiculous. There was never a chance in the world.
I'm buzzing.
What?
But Scottish football is littered with those. Like I said, Jamie.
But no, Jamie Vardy coming to Stirling.
But why though?
Because I looked at his Wikipedia page before I come on.
Jay Rodriguez went alone to Stirling.
I know that.
Robert Earnshaw was at Morton.
Who was the one that played with St Mirren at Manchester City?
Well, Mahrez.
Mahrez
is on trial. It's not quite the same.
Jimba.
But Vardy's never coming up there. Rebecca wouldn't allow that.
I don't think they mean last year, though.
No, but even
the start of his career.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, I've tried to fight your corner,
unlucky
John, but it's not to be. John, you're a Celtic fan?
Yes, I'm a Celtic fan, yeah.
Right, what are you thinking then? There's a lot going on with transfers, but there's actually a massive game tomorrow. How do you feel about it?
I feel confident about the game tomorrow because it's, you know, at home. But I would like my signings in the door, definitely.
It's a strange one, isn't it, John? Because like everyone's been focused on the end of the window has been like the ultimate time frame for this, which it is. But
it's always the same every year, though. It's always the end of the window. Yeah. So I try hard my nerve with it, but
you know, a lot of Celtic fans are not happy with it at all. I can understand the frustrations, but hopefully.
So you think ultimately, though, like, it's not too big of a gamble? You think the current squad can get through this tie?
Yeah, get through this tie, aye, but no, we would definitely need signings getting into it if we manage to get through to the next stage. But I think we'll be all right for this tie. Definitely at home, might struggle a bit in Kazakhstan just with how far away it is, mm-hmm. you know, the heat and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I think
that, but I think the tie will be over tomorrow. I really do.
It's just incredible, Gordon, because if I say to you, do you think Celtic will go through, you'll say yes. If I ask Marvin, I think he'll say yes. I think most people will say yes. It's just two games. It's two games when you never know. And as John says, there's a lot stacked against you logistically and altitude and all that sort of stuff when you go for the away leg. Can you imagine these phone lines if it goes wrong?
No, I can't.
I mean, like, because of the way the last few weeks have been. So yeah. That's what I'm talking about, this gamble, this kind of...
Yeah. I've got to admit, Gordon, I've sat here and I've tried to understand what was happening at Celtic with the board and the money and signings and, you know, we've made every opinion that's going. I'm now slowly but surely coming around to the majority of the way Celtic fans are thinking. I think, yes, we all agree, I think they're good enough to go and win this, but there's no gimmies. Even if you brought in a lot of players and wide areas and up front, but at least gives you sort of a shortens that risk for you, right? And I think Celtic would have easily went through this and earned the big money again. Still probably will, but I'm astonished just now that Celtic haven't got players, especially where everybody's identifying it in the forward area.
Well, Brendan Rodgers, I think, obviously... would have preferred if they had more players in the door heading into this playoff, but he says he's just going to work with what they've got.
We just want to make sure that we are in the best possible place that we can be. You know, I honestly can't sit here and give you every answer for every question. I'll do my very best. And what I want to do is make the team the very best that we can. And I'm hoping that by the end of the window that we can be that. As a football manager and coach, I would want it now, because I'm getting into games here that mean everything for this club going forward. But if we don't have it in the building now, then we have to work with what's here. So, but I would want us to be, you know, operationally, strategically, I'd want us to be the very best that we possibly can be.
Let's bring Martin in on the line. What do you make of it, Martin?
A shambles, to be fair, isn't it? But my point is, Brendan Rodgers hasn't said he's staying after this season. So do you not think the boards will be thinking, if we give Brendan money to spend and then the next manager doesn't fancy them, it's a waste of money again?
I don't know about that, because everybody talks about the way Celtic operate. You know, behind the scenes with the money, and they're all saying, well, they don't like to spend money, they're trying to, you know, get everybody in the cheap. Surely if the riches of the next two games were there, you know what I mean, the board must be sitting thinking, for instance, and I argued with Andrew at this point on Sunday, even if they splashed out 20 million, right, it shortens that risk, as I said, probably gets them through into Champions League, where they're going to earn over 40 million upwards. So you're looking at it and thinking, well, why would the board sit and do that? That's the thing for me. I can't grasp.
I've heard this theory a lot, that it's somehow linked to Brendan Rodgers' contract, Marvin, and I can't see how that would be the case, because like we said earlier, if you think the board are getting stick at the moment, it is not even a speck compared to what will happen if this goes wrong. So what Brendan Rodgers does at the end of the season and what the squad looks like at the start of next season is the least of the Celtics board's concerns right now, you would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think those two things are linked at all. I think Brendan Rodgers speaks extremely well there. He says, you know, as a manager, you know, these games coming up mean everything for the football club. I'd much rather have the players in. But he's still holding hope that by the close of this window, you know, those players will be in the building. I don't think the board are looking at it and thinking, well, Rodgers hasn't, you know, extended his contract, so we don't want to give him any money, because I think there's more to it at Celtic Football Club than one man saying this is who we're signing, and that's totally it. I think there's people behind the scenes that are obviously working on it. And when's the last time a Celtic manager came into the building and someone's gone from a starter and then saying, you know, they're not for us? So I think they, you know, they look at things properly. They bring a manager in that suits what they want to do. So I don't think the two things are linked. But yeah, I am surprised, you know, we've got to this date and Celtic haven't done any business. But I fully expect them in the remaining days of the window to bring in the players that will boost their squad in the areas that Gordon said there
yeah,
that they need.
To be fair, that phrase keeps getting thrown out. But Celtic's defence is stronger than it was last season.
Mm-hmm.
And their midfield is stronger than it was last season.
Yeah. But you win games by scoring goals,
sure,
don't
not,
you?
And I'm not trying to pretend there aren't deficiencies, but we keep saying, you know, they've not added. It's just that critical area, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a small insignificant thing, but the defence is, in theory, I should say, or on paper, better than it was last season. And Negrin's been added to a midfield, and they've not lost anyone. So
and he looks good to me. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be a good signing. But I think the problem is it's the players that have Jota, for instance, right? Fans' favourite, he's out for a long time. Kuhn, assists and goals, you know what I mean? Very hard to replace as well. The one that everybody goes back to, Kyogo. Yeah. So I think.
Well, imagine
that's
that front three of those players there.
Yeah.
And that's what they're missing. They're top quality players, by the way.
Martin, do you think the team is good enough to get through this? Is that the way you see this playing out?
Gordon, if you remember, I come on after the cup final. I was first on after the cup final. And said that Bernardo, Yang, and Ida should not be the club. Simple. I don't think they're not.
I don't think you're going to be alone in this, Martin. I think a lot of people are jumping this bandwagon. Bernardo, I was sitting here the other day there and I actually forgot all about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really been seen now. Luke McCown seems to have overjumped him the pecking order, and rightly so, because I think every time he comes on or he plays, he shows brilliant energy and everything about him. I think the Celtic
fans. Gordon, he wants to play for the shirt.
Well, I was going to say that. I think the Celtic fans love that. You know, Adam Ida is a strange one for me. I just think centre forwards, you could look at centre forward and think, right, he's absolutely hopeless. We want rid of him. He could score a couple of goals. And then just go in this run. Look, they talk about there's no goals in Celtic striker-wise. Maeda and Adam Ida scored some like 50-plus goals between them last season, gone. So you would think right now, and I don't think it's ideal, let me say, I think right now you've got enough there to go over this tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With goals. Yep. I think my big problem is who's going to deliver the service.
Thank you very much to Martin. We'll hear more from Brendan Rodgers. Lots of interesting stuff today. Jamie Vardy's name has been mentioned. We'll play you some of the other best bits from his press conference. Let's go back to Ibrox though to tell you what Rangers face tonight. Maybe Gabriel would quickly recap the Rangers team as well in case you missed it and let us know the danger men for Bruges.
Yeah, Gordon, let's go through Rangers first. It's Butler in goal, Aarons, Suter, Giga and Meg Homer as a back four. Diomande, Rothwell and Raskin across the midfield three. Antman, Gassama and Danilo up top. The visitors, managed by Nicky Hayen, look like they're going to play with a bit of a 4-4-2. Diomande can be quite flexible. They're known to change formations as well. It'll be Simon Mignolet in goal. A lot of people remember him from his time in the Premier League with Liverpool and others. Saez, Mekele, Spielers and Saba at the back. Onyedika, Carlos Forbes, Stankovic and Solis in the middle. That's Christos Solis, who of course tormented Scotland back in March. And up front for Mant and Vaneken. Hans Vaneken, a Belgium international and the captain. Another danger man, Gordon.
Yeah, lots of experience in that Bruges team for sure. Some real danger men for Rangers to worry about. But also Martin saying yesterday, it's mostly, as always is the case, managers say it's about what we do. And wanting to focus on that side of it. Let's hear from Russell Martin.
Well, I think the belief it would give the players, I think, would be massive. I think financially, obviously, what it would do for the football club would be huge. So I think if we're able to do it, which I really believe we are, if we can do it and qualify for it, I think it'd be brilliant. I think, like someone asked me, you know, have we got the squad depth and all that to sustain it? I don't think we need to worry about it. I think let's try and get in there first and then we're building a squad that has to compete in Europe, whether it's the Europa League or the Champions League. So I think it would be incredibly exciting.
0141 951 1025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dieler here, building up to kick off tonight at Ibrox. Still time to get your calls in, your thoughts on the game, where Rangers and Russell Martin are at generally. The team lineup, of course, tonight is a very interesting one, so please do get your thoughts in there. And we're going to reflect more on what Brendan Rodgers had to say today and look ahead to Celtic's big game tomorrow. Let me quickly give you Ian in Govan's teaser. He sent in, and this is tough, I think. Can you name the last 10 Rangers players to score against Belgian opposition? Can you name the last 10 Rangers players to score
Morelis
against Belgian opposition? It doesn't include the friendly a couple of weeks ago. We're talking European competition here.
Morelis.
He is on there. Well done.
Tavernier.
He is also on there. Standard Liège.
Hadji?
No.
Perfect.
Does Dessers must?
No.
No. My favourite player. He's my favourite player now. Last 10.
Mm-hmm.
Cherny?
Nope.
Oh, no.
No, we need to go back a bit, don't we, Gordon? We're just too much into the future here.
Not too far. What I would say is they're all from a similar era.
Right, okay.
What was the...
This is not a history test.
No. Sima?
Nope.
You're terrible tonight.
What a shout that is, mate. I don't think many people in Scotland have got that.
What wrong?
One more guess quickly. Hurry up. What's that face?
No, what the hell's happening now?
I didn't know what I was going to say there. Okay, I'll go Diamandi.
No. You need to just go back a little tiny bit further, but not too much. Okay. Right, okay. Anyway, 01419511025 is the number. Fulltime at Clyde1.com is the address for the fulltime teaser. So send them in, please. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers talking about this need to improve.
Well, I think firstly, we want to qualify, of course, and if it's with this group of players, I'm confident that we can do that. Going forward, listen, it's clear we would have to improve the squad. We gave a hint last season of what we can do when we improved the squad last year and went into the Champions League in a really good way. And so, as I said, we felt and showed what we can do at the level. And for me, the job is to keep trying to develop and at minimum sustain that. And for that, you need that constant improvement of your squad. So, but currently where this group's at, with what we have, the players are doing very, very well. Really focusing in on the training's been so good, been really intense, and that's allowed us to keep improving. So we don't want to overthink this game. We know the magnitude of it. We know the consequence of it. However, it'll only look good for us if we play to the level that we want to play, and that's what we're focused on.
It felt, Gordon, I don't want to like overanalyze these things and stir up things that aren't there, but at the same time, I was at the press conference today. I go to these things all the time, so you get a real feel for sort of when a manager is in the mood to talk about transfers and when he's not. And it felt like another day where he was not as blockbuster as he was a couple of weeks ago, but I think still keen to deliver the message. There was one of the answers, and it might have been that one, that it wasn't even directly in response to a question about transfers, because there was loads of questions about transfers, but it felt like he kept just subtly dropping in that point about, you know, I mean, yeah, we gave a hint of what we were capable of last season, but you know, we need to keep improving the squad. It did feel like he wanted to definitely make that point.
I'd like to know what he looked like, how he's dressed this afternoon.
Tracksuit.
Okay, so that means he's okay.
No tie.
I think he sounds, without me being brilliant at this, he sounds disappointed. He's got to be disappointed, Gordon. He's gone into a massive two games, and everybody keeps saying, yeah, I will still think that Celtic will win the two games. It's got to be hard.
What two games are you talking about?
Almaty tomorrow night.
Livy at the weekend.
He's playing, that's how he gets tracksuit on. He's been doing a bit of training.
That's disrespectful.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. But look, he's got to be disappointed. You know, he's short. Everybody knows he's short in the wide areas. Okay, if you're sitting here in Scottish, like Marvin, other teams in Scotland, managers and coaches will be looking at Brendan Rodgers' squad and thinking, what have you got to mourn about the quality that you've got? But he's getting into massive games with massive money at stake as well. You know what I mean? He's came to Celtic because he wants to manage in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. He's a top manager. So he wants to manage at the highest level he possibly can. And I think that he's obviously disappointed. But Brendan, I think the way he handles the press, he's clever at what he does. He puts it out there, but he puts it out in the right way for me.
What he did say, Marvin, is that despite all this noise, he does definitely feel more stable than the last time he had to get into Champions League qualifiers, because there used to be real chaos at this time. You know, Celtic were always really patching together, like centre-backs and so on. Remember, he had just came in and there was the Lincoln Redimps thing and they were stumbling through. They played Hapoel Beersheva. But at the same time, this is the first playoff round Celtic have played since 2017, when Brendan Rodgers was there against Astana. Yes, they got automatic qualification a couple of times, but I think Celtic have gone out of the Champions League four times then. Is that right? My arithmetic's not great. Four times before the playoff round. Kaira Almaty may not be as good as those teams, that's fine, but it does show you the risk that can be taken if you're not ready for this stage.
Yeah, and listen, it's a huge risk. As we said, you know, speaking about Rangers earlier and about falling out of the Champions League into Europa League, Brendan Rodgers realises that's a real possibility. You know, people keep saying, oh, that they should go through these games, but, you know, football's not played on a spreadsheet. He understands that the players have to go out there and perform. He'd much rather the players in the building, you know, and they could kick on from there. But he also said, you know, with the players that are here, we'll do the best that we possibly can. There's no doubt about it. He's not throwing his toys out of the pram. He's letting people know. He said it all along that they need to bring players in. But also the players within the building, they have his full trust. And that's a massive thing when you're a player. You know, yes, your manager's speaking about bringing in new signings and everybody wants them, but he also trusts the ones that are in the building. And he believes that they are good enough to go through and do it. You know, and then once that happens, as I said before, the window closes, he hopes to have players in. But yeah, as you said, playing in these playoff rounds, it's a huge, huge risk, because you could get knocked out, which would be a disaster for Celtic.
Okay, let's bring in Brendan, who's on the line. How are you, Brendan? It's not that one, is it?
You got a tracksuit on?
No.
Can you imagine? Because genuinely, I almost got a mini fright there, because I didn't have my phone screen open. I was looking at something else, and then I just thought he just called in, just got to the end of his tether. Anyway, Brendan, number two, take it away.
So basically, what Celtic have ran this player trading model and the way they run the club for the last 20 years, right? That's the reason why Celtic are in a financial position that they're in. Just because Brendan Rodgers has had the success in the past 2 years in his previous management, the board aren't going to change the way they operate the club. If you look back historically, every time Celtic have spent big money, it's always when they've qualified for the Champions League. But before that, they always bring in club players. But the scouting network have looked out at and went, right, we'll get them in, we'll enhance them, and then we'll sell them on for a profit. But then when we go to give Brendan Rodgers money, it's always when they've got the guarantee that we'll get Champions League football and the extra money, because the board aren't going to risk the model, because if they just went here willy nilly with money, or go and buy whoever you like, we could have been in the same position as Rangers were last year.
See, to be fair though, Brendan, so I get this, but as usual, the truth's always just somewhere in that middle point. Who's saying spend willy nilly? Who's saying buy whoever you want? I mean, literally nobody would be suggesting that, would they?
No, but what Celtic fans are wanting is for the board to give Brendan Rodgers a war chest of £30 million. Right, to go there, go and get four players. Where's 30 million? Go and get four players, right? But then the board look at it at the other side and go, well, see if we've got to buy four players at £30 million, right? One of the players has got to cost 10, 15 million pounds. If we've got a 10, 15 million pound player coming into the club, what do they demand? They demand a wage in excess of our wage bill. So if we then go, right, here, there you go. What happens? Michael Nicholson's getting a chap at the door with 13 other players. Like, hold on a minute. Why is he getting paid 70 grand a week? But yeah, I've said I'm going to stick within the club's wage restriction. And then Michael Nicholson's got a headache because he's got 13 other players' problems.
So I don't doubt there are limitations on it, Gordon. Of course not. I'm not saying it's easy, but is it this hard? Like I say, there's a scale here. Nobody's saying spend 70 grand. Nobody's saying spend anything you want. That is true. You bring expensive players in, they want big wages. It can upset the structure. But there just has to be a middle ground here.
There's a slight difference. I think Brendan talks a lot of sense in what he's saying about the Celtic model and how the board go about their business. And there's nothing up with that. But just now, you've lost one of your best players in Jota for injury, right? You've lost Kuhn in the transfer window, which was another one of their best players. You're getting in here to an opportunity to make another waddy money, Gordon. I'm not saying, and what Brendan's talking about, bring in 3-4 players and spend 30 million. But I'm surprised that they've not brought in even one. Right, what happens?
A winger, as an example.
What happens tomorrow, you know, something happens with Maeda or whatever. All of a sudden, in the front areas, you're so short getting into such an important game. It's unbelievable.
Interesting point though, Brendan. Thank you. William's on the line. Let's try and squeeze this in. We're now fast running out of time, but let's do it, William.
Hello, how you doing? Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
Just to go on that last point, I think it was the board that said that they're quite happy with 3 out of 5 Champions League. So I think that's how. I don't know if that's how they budget the Champions League or they don't budget the Champions League money, but I think I remember somewhere saying the budget for 3 out of 5. But anyway, it's just that I was disappointed with what Brendan said today about the young boy Inamura. I thought his analogy with the boy Lamal, I don't think any left back can cope with that boy.
That was very interesting, William. Just let me explain in case anyone missed it, because I'm glad you brought it up. I don't have the clip, but he was asked just bluntly why Inamura was excluded from the Champions League squad. And Brendan Ridge said, it's very easy. He's not quite at the level yet of what I would expect. He went on, and the analogy probably isn't great, as William says, because he says he came in as a centre-half left-back, but his defensive qualities aren't at the level that would see me put him in against Lamine Yamal if I had to. Simple as that. That's why he's not involved. So I get William's point. Well, who could handle Lamine Yamal? But I think the wider point, Brendan Rodgers, it was very blunt. He's played good games against Cork and Queen's Park, but the reality is that the level we play, you've got 80% of the ball. We need a player that can defend. We're hoping over the next couple of years, experience, loans. So it was a very, very blunt answer, William, wasn't it?
It was, and I mean, what he's doing, you can clearly see that he's managing. You can clearly see that he's managing Tierney just now, and then he's ending up putting Scales at left back once Tierney's ran his race. And obviously, Maeda and Tierney are getting to know each other. And you can see a vast difference between the St Mirren game and the Falkirk game. You can see that they were working out, because good players do work it out, how where to run and where to go. So Maeda was coming inside, Tierney was going outside, but it wasn't quite working against St Mirren, where it worked a lot better against Falkirk, I thought. So it was just that point about and how he's putting the squad together, you know, and putting Scales out there and putting them against Lear. I don't think that, as I say, I don't think there's anybody that can cope with that boy just now at Barcelona. So I thought it was a poor statement for him. And I'm hoping to see Inamura and maybe in the domestic games if he's not allowed to.
Doesn't sound like it, to be fair. It sounded like a loan or something, which, again, there is always a bigger picture here. What does that mean? Who picked the player? Or, you know, is Brendan Rodgers not happy with the signing? You can see why these questions are being asked. Anyway, thank you, William. We'll get kickoff at Ibrox next.
Coming up at 8, Callum Gallagher.
Come on. All right, day 2, week 6 now on Name That Doof. Gent, you can. We'll be opening up the phone lines for that real soon. My record of the week this week is a banger. Sonny Federa and Jazzy together getting that on. And let's chat routines after the guys.
Callum Gallagher on Clyde One. Every night from 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Marvin Bartley and Gordon Diel are here. 15 minutes to kick off. Did I think before the break it was a quarter to 8 kickoff? Maybe. We'll never know for sure.
Well,
I was
looking
at the clock, I was panicking, I forgot. Old habits die hard and all that. Thank you to Ian in Govan for sending it in. I said, can you name the last 10 players to score against Belgian opposition for Rangers in European competition? It's actually 11 players because we didn't want to cut off, but you know, they were within the same game. So let's make it 11. So the last 11 players you've only got Morelos and Tavernier.
Right, I'm going back to the old guard. Kent.
Yes.
Lundstrom.
Oh, great shout.
No.
Not a great shout. Oh, Roof.
No.
Aribo?
Yes.
Tillman.
What was his name?
Yes.
No, it wasn't him I was thinking of, but that's a great shout. Itten, was that his name?
Oh,
big striker.
Yes. Right, let's leave it there. We'll get more before the end of the show. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers on Jamie Vardy. There was stories doing the rounds yesterday that the player would be open to a move to Celtic. Does that mean Celtic would be willing to reciprocate that or what? He didn't give too much away, Brendan Rodgers.
Listen, I would not speak about any individual player. Of course, I worked really well with Jamie. He was brilliant for me in my time at Leicester. So, but no, there's been so many names floated about. So, but I wouldn't disclose either way.
Read much into it. I mean,
no, he's not got to come out with that, is he? Jamie Vardy, 38. Look, I think Vardy could easily do a job in Scottish football. Mm-hmm. I think he's got the right attitude. His work rate's magnificent. England internationalist.
Famously did not go on loan to Stirling Albion ever in his career.
Is that the road Celtic really want to go down? I don't think it is.
I suppose I'm more doing that thing, Marvin, that we all do, the reading between the lines at this time of year. Managers will sometimes completely shoot that down, as in, no, that's not a player that we are interested in. Or was that leaving the door open, or was that respecting Jamie Vardy and not wanting to shoot it down? Because do you see what I mean? What do you take from it?
I think it would be the more, you know, respecting him, you know, respectful answer. Doesn't mean that it is closed, you know, at all to Jamie Vardy, but I think, you know, regardless if Brendan Rodgers wanted him or not, I think he would have gone down that line of, you know, I'm not going to speak about players who aren't currently at the football club. In terms of Celtic signing him, I don't think it's a bad one. I'm not saying just Jamie Vardy. I think Jamie Vardy plus another one, potentially, or Jamie Vardy plus a winger, to maybe give you three strikers with Maeda and Eder as well. I don't think that'd be the worst sign. Like you said, domestically, I think you still have a lot to offer for them. You talk about experience kind of at that top end. Would it help Adam Eder potentially come along as well? You know, playing with someone who's had a really, really good career in the top flight in England. And yeah, you know, you could use him sparingly. I mean, he's not going to come up here and expect to play every single game, but I think he'll be a fantastic squad player for Celtic.
A hypothetical cup final tomorrow. Everybody's got, is up to speed and all that stuff. Don't try and catch me out with the details. Would you start Jamie Vardy or Adam Eder?
I would start Maeda through the middle.
That's not what I asked.
Okay.
That doesn't suit my question.
Who'd
be your first sub on then?
My first sub on would be, I would probably go Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, probably Vardy as sub.
Right, let's go. Will we go back to Ibrox? We give it another 5 minutes. I'm forgetting it is that 8 o'clock kickoff there. I suppose we could hear a bit more, since one of the answers to the Beat the Pundit earlier was Nicholas Raskin. Let's get some more thoughts on Russell Martin, from Russell Martin, on him, because he's in the team tonight.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. So we analysed these clips, me and him together, from Tuesday. So yeah, no, I've not heard anything. Not at all. So he's been brilliant, and I'm pretty sure Kevin and Patrick and the gang would have told me if we'd had heard that sooner. I think he'll get better and better. He was only not in the squad on Saturday for a rest. He picked up a kick on Tuesday, but he's trained really well. He's going to be a big player for us. I said that from the beginning. But I also said, obviously, it's been a difficult summer for him and all that, but I really, the last few weeks, I've loved the energy that Nico's brought, and he's going to be really important for us, and he will play tomorrow, and he'll be a big player for us.
What else do you take away from that team, Gordon? Because we focused on James Tavernier, understandably, earlier on, but Nicholas Raskin was another one who came out of the team for that Pilsen game when the big calls were made. We said that taking him out was just as big as taking Tavernier out. He's come back in, though.
I think it was a good bit of management. I think Raskin maybe just was getting a little bit of ahead of himself. I think I like Raskin. I think he's brilliant. I really do. I think he had a terrific finish to the season. I thought maybe the rumours going about, you know, about a transfer. It affects players, of course it does. And I think Russell Martin handled it brilliantly by leaving him out and saying, well, I'll tell you what, you'll need to show me you want to play here. You need to show me the right attitude, everything about it. He made a big call. And it looks like it's been the correct call because he's got the response he wanted. Mm-hmm. And if you're a manager, you make certain decisions and hope that that's the right response. I think Russell Martin's got that, we're asking.
Yeah, reaction's key, isn't it? When you, you know, you take big players out of the team, and obviously he's got the one from Raskin because he puts him back in today. I'm interested to see where he plays or whether he is as an eight or a six.
Well, funnily enough, someone at Ibrox was telling me they sent me a message to say that when they were warming up, you love the warm-ups.
Yeah, yeah, I love them.
Usually you can tell now they'll warm up in their sort of units, their back four or whatever. It looked like Raskin was warming up in the central, the six role.
Yeah.
And actually Joe Rothwell was the left side of him as one of the eights, which is quite interesting because there's been a lot of talk about that.
How do you see that going, Marv, with they two?
I think
most Rangers fans, that's where they want to see Raskin.
Yeah, Raskin definitely. I think it can work. You know, I wonder if he's going to go with two sixes. But I think Raskin is a number six. He's better suited to that 100%. You know, I know you speak about last season with him and how good he was in there. He didn't look completely comfortable as a number eight. And I think you look at him, he's Rangers' actual best midfielder. So you have to build the midfield around him rather
than
fitting him in.
Doesn't sound like Russell Martin totally feels that way though, does he? He keeps talking about the things, you know, trying to sort of harness him almost, make sure he's not running about all over the place, make sure he fits within their system. You know, even small things, well, took him out against Pilsen, as we said. Even little small things, was it in pre-season when Tavernier didn't play, Raskin did, but Conor Barron was the captain that game, whereas Raskin had the armband before. It just doesn't sound so far that Russell Martin's quite as convinced. Now, he did put it down to maybe having his head turned.
That's massive though, Gordon. Like, players having their head turned within dressing rooms is absolutely huge, and I know fans hate to hear it, but you know, it's the same thing with all agents. You know, a player has a really, really good season or a good end to the season, then as soon as that season finishes, the agent's saying to him, you know, this team wants you, that team wants you, etc., etc. And Raskin's a young man, so there's no doubt about it. His head would have been turned during the summer. Then all of a sudden you come back to pre-season, the agent's saying to you, do you know what, it's still going to happen, don't worry, going for the first few days. And the longer it goes on, you know, the more difficult players find it to kind of readjust and get themselves going again. And obviously it's taken Raskin a little bit longer than Russell Martin would have wanted. But as he said there in his pre-match interview, you know, he's back to his best and he's doing extremely well for the team. He's excellent on Tuesday, came out for a rest on Saturday. So Raskin's almost aligned himself back with where he was last season and being the important player for Rangers. Moves will come. You know, players don't have to worry about that. But it, as I said, it affects players so much because every single agent is always trying to move players on.
Okay, let's go back to Ibrox and check in with Gabriel one final time. A recap of the teams, a flavour of the atmosphere. What's at stake?
Yeah, Gordon, Rangers are unbeaten in 25 of 29 home games in Champions League qualifiers. A brilliant record. They've never lost to a Belgian team here. They've never lost to Bruges in either of their two meetings. They've been so solid at Ibrox on midweek nights in recent seasons. But they are going to have to go up several levels from previous rounds if they want to progress. Seven changes to the team from the weekend from Russell Martin. A huge debut for 19-year-old debutant Jaden Magoma, who only signed a few days ago. So it's Butland in goal, Max Aarons at right back, Nasadiga and John Suter in the centre of defence with Jaden Magoma on the left. Joe Rothwell, Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamande are in the middle. Oliver Antman, Jedi Gassama and Danilo are up top, Gordon. The atmosphere really building here. Kickoff 7 minutes away.
Looking forward to it greatly, and whatever happens tonight, we'll look back on it tomorrow, of course. Let's finish off quickly this teaser. Who are the last 11 players to score against Belgium opposition for Rangers? So Aribo, Kent, Morelos, Tavernier, Tillman. I meant to say Cherny was correct from earlier. So
brilliant, man.
Couple to get.
I'm going to go for Colak.
Yes.
I'm finished, mate. I'm out. I'm keys. Many we got.
There's an obvious one you're missing.
We've got three more. Obvious
We've
one.
Been speaking about him. He might be from that country.
Raskin.
Okay. I've got two more to get. And the reason you can't get them is because they're both fullbacks, but they're not James Tavernier.
Barisic
got three. Did against he? Royal Antwerp, yeah.
And the other ones on it are fullback that I have absolutely no idea.
Fullback?
Yeah. It's got to be a left back because. No, it's got to be a right back now because Gordon shook his head. Sterling. No, he didn't, did he?
Scottish.
Scottish right back.
Patterson.
Yep.
Oh, brilliant. That's why
right,
he's
quick, go on then. Score prediction. Score prediction for tonight.
I think Rangers will lose tonight.
Oh, negative.
I know. I hate to say it.
By how many?
By one. Marvin, they'll still be in the tie.
2-2.
2-2. Should be a cracker then. If Marvin's right, whatever does happen tomorrow night is the... This is the place to be for all your reaction, I'm sure, one way or the other. I look forward to it. So 6 o'clock, we will see you then and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.